I can't count the number of times I have acted or reacted to other people for reasons that had nothing to do with them. Maybe you can relate to this. You know, reacting with anger to someone because I actually feel insecure about myself. Relating everything in a conversation back to my experience because I'm desperate for acceptance. Jumping into a conversation when I don't have any context because I just want to be included. Or maybe not saying anything because I don't want to get mocked or because I don't understand the joke or I just don't want to get made fun of. Or worse, joining in the laughter at someone else because I don't want to be the brunt of the same laughter. You know, for me, whether this has happened when I was 5 or 13 or 26 or 48, it largely stems from this same desire for a place to belong and being afraid that, oh, if I say or do, or if I don't say and do, do I fit? Is there a place for me? Ironically, each reaction of anger, failure to listen, interruption, each time I hide ignorance or join in mocking, it actually only decreases belonging for myself and others. I'm certain I'm not the only one who's done this, and others can talk about this reality far better than I can. But there's this thing that a psychiatrist, Murray Bowen, wrote extensively about. These aren't his words, these are my interpretation of it. But basically, he says that our anxiety about our connection, our lack of what's called differentiation, it actually leads us to being more reactive, which then in turn works against connection. It works against receiving and extending belonging. The fact that we don't have a sense of groundedness in who we are actually hinders our connection with other people. Right? The more we look for our identity in what other people can give us or what maybe we can give them, our connection with them actually is hindered because we're looking for them to give what they can't or looking for us to give to them what we shouldn't. We've spent several weeks on this theme of belonging, and I really don't think what I'm going to talk about today is anything new, which lets me cut a bunch out. But I want to read some words of Jesus because I think he taps into this sense of, before we can really find a deep sense of belonging with others, we have to have that deep sense of security and self from somewhere. And he speaks to that. I'm going to read some stuff from John 14 and John 15. The words are going to be on the screen. He's talking to his disciples. He says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." There's a couple of questions that Jesus gets asked, and then he picks it up and says, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when my Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. The picture Jesus paints here is that we extend, really, the belonging that we receive from God. The belonging that we try and foster among us is the overflow of what we have in our identity with Jesus. John summarized it in 1 John 4. He said, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us." Get that? Our love for each other is actually God's love on display. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. This desire to create a space for belonging, this working to practically love each other, I think it's summed up in three things in these passages, and I'm just going to go through them super, super quickly. These are things that I will add that Jesus embodied. He didn't just teach and say, you should do this. Jesus did this. And the first one is it starts by receiving God's love, finding our deepest sense of belonging in God's heart for us. When I say this is what Jesus experienced, like this is Jesus' baptism, right? Before he starts his ministry, before he goes off into the wilderness for his temptation, Jesus is baptized. And it's interesting because in Matthew, it's a declaration of God's heart for Jesus for others to hear. It says, "This is my dearly loved son who gives me great joy." It's like an announcement. But when Luke writes it, he says that the voice said, "You are my dearly loved son and you bring me great joy." It's a declaration to Jesus. Like, this is your identity. Everything that you do, everything that comes in your life stems from this place, that you are my dearly loved son. In 1 John 4, that passage I just read, it starts by talking about Jesus' sacrifice. I didn't read those verses, but then it talks about what Jesus has done for us, and then it says, since God loved us that much. But the starting point is, like, God loves us that much. Many of us struggle to believe that we're loved. We've been told our whole life, maybe, that, you know, you're not pretty enough, you're not strong enough, you're not rich enough, you're not successful enough, you don't work hard enough. You can fill in the blank, the messages that you have been told, either internally or externally, about not being enough. God speaks a different truth about you. To people who consistently rejected them, Jesus said, "I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love." John, the one who is, he's called the beloved disciple because he was so closely connected with Jesus. Having seen Jesus, could write, God so loved the world. That is his heart for us. 1 John 4, where we just read, you know, this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God's heart for you is that you are loved. His message for you is that you are loved. Before we can fully embrace our belonging together, it starts with each of us and us together finding our identity in the one who loves us, and that we are God's beloved. It would be super nice and comfortable if it was like, you're loved, just sit there in that. But in these passages, Jesus consistently says, okay, because of that, the word he uses is one we don't like necessarily, but he says, obey. Obey me. I put it this way, embody that love by living the way of Jesus. John 15, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Again, this is Jesus calling us to something that he also is doing. I was looking at this word obey this past week, and the Hebrew word, this is in Greek, but it's a Jewish culture, and in their world, obey wasn't just like a military command type of structure. Like, I declare, you step in line. It was about hearing and responding appropriately, having an attentiveness to and an alignment with what is being said. So it's hearing what Jesus says and seeking to live that way, not just following an order, like trying to embody. The truth is, if you're going to commit your life to only doing things that you are commanded to do in the Bible, there's lots of things you won't do. Because the Bible is written at a different time, different place, different context. We have to hear it, be sensitive to it, and then seek to live in alignment with it in our world. And that is what creates this kind of called this desired circle of intimacy that is put on display in these passages. Where Jesus says, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And there we have this sense of belonging that doesn't matter, you know, what Vera might say about me. She would only say good things, just to be clear. But I'm not going to get my identity in what someone else says about me. Or it doesn't matter where I might stumble and fall, because, okay, I'm in this circle of intimacy with the God who is love. And I live in God, and as it says in 1 John 4, God lives in us, and so... We don't need to sit here in a panic frenzy about what the world out there might be saying about us, because we're at peace. We've got this sense of differentiation individually and collectively, and we don't need to be fighting to try and get approval elsewhere. And then from that place of deep belonging, deep love and connection, we're then told, okay, now go love each other. And love gets to be so much easier when I'm not looking for somebody else to give me all the value. Right? Because they can stumble in their love and I can still respond appropriately. And I can stumble in my love, and if they're in that place, they will love me appropriately. Again, Jesus embodied this. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And Jesus loved us. He says in John 15, I loved you even as the Father has loved me. He was extending the love that was on display in the Trinity to us and drawing us into that. And from that place, he then says, okay, now that you've seen it, now that you've received it, this is my command. Love one another. Create that space where somebody can find that truest, deepest sense of belonging, because it's rooted in and it's an extension of my love. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, surely we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Let's pray. God, this is at the same time so encouraging and so frustrating because we know how hard it is to truly embrace that deep sense of belonging in you. I might be the only one, but I know when I think about the past week, the past month, I see all of those times I've reacted out of things that weren't rooted in your love. I need to come back to this place because, God, you love me in spite of that. And every time we fail and fall, it's an invitation to come back to you and back to your love. And then turn that back out again. Maybe it needs to look like an apology, like making amends. Maybe it just needs to be like welcoming someone as they are still learning to know what your love and grace is. But God, I just ask that you would help us to lean into you, keep you at the center of who we are, and from that place be able to pass that welcome forward. With Jesus at the center, help us to trust in your way of being and to obey, to be attentive to your word and to live your way out well. God, thank you for your presence among us. Thank you again that you love us and that you give us the privilege of extending that love to each other, to all those that we meet as we go through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.